So I don't want you to think, okay, this looks pretty boring, playing by the year, managed by the week. So that's why I brought up about the fun and efficiency together. Planning by the year. Those of you who are my students, you know that I'm big on planning. And why am I big on planning? Because you can create your own world. How many of you have ever sat and thought about, gee, what kind of guitarist do I really want to be in 5 years, 10 years? Like really vividly imagined it. Or even better, wrote it out in detail. How many of you have ever done that with other areas of your life that are not guitar? And hasn't it been better? Did your dreams come true much faster for your having done that? If you did, raise your hand, let's see it. Oh, everyone who, I'm not putting anyone on the spot, but everyone who raised their hand to the first question also did it to the second question. Who's done it with guitar? No one? I know one of you. I know a couple of you have because I've helped you along with that. You know, it may not sound very glamorous to plan by the year, but when you really start thinking about, yeah, what do I want to be doing? If I could create exactly the type of guitarist, who I want to play with, what style I'm playing with, whether I'm a band leader or a side person, what style of music, how many bands, how much money am I making, am I doing gigs or am I playing living room concerts or not even any of that, just playing for fun, but playing anything like a certain artist, I can play like a surprise. So as I invite you to sit down and really visualize or spend some time writing it out. There's an article by Brian Tracy. Who's heard of Brian Tracy? There's an article that says, the key to long-term success. I'm not going to go on and on about this, but I'm going to send you this article. He references a famous study from Harvard, 1970, Dr. Edward Banfield. He wrote a book called The Unheavenly City. He was determined to find out what makes people more successful than others. He thought it was going to be something like background, education, intelligence, influential contacts, some other factor. What he finally discovered was that the major reason for success in life was a particular attitude of mind. And this attitude of mind was called, three words, long time perspective. The people who were most successful made decisions in the present with some kind of, you know, just think of like your family doctor, well-respected profession in every country. Why is a doctor so well respected? Because they have to go through years and years of interning, schooling, pre-med, all that stuff, you know. They might be a good 35 years old before they can even start practicing, right? So they automatically have a long time perspective. So just take that into consideration. Having said that about planning by the year, manage by the week. When you are on any particular week, so you may say to yourself, okay, well great, now I have all these, you know, yearly goals. How is that going to help me this particular week? Well, first of all, I recommend you only practice one thing at a time. If you're practicing more than one, no, I can handle it, I can do it. No, you can't. Just do one thing at a time. And unless it's integrated. We're going to talk about a lot about implementation and integration. I'll define those later, but integrating, well, right off the bat, integrating is when you take two skills you already know and you're working on tying them together. So unless it's that, which is not really two things, because you already know the two things. You should only work on one thing at a time. And then manage by the week. You can have multiple things per week that you practice, but only do one thing at a time. This is a sample of a practice tracker, which my students are well familiar with. And this does several different things. This does manage by the week and review by the quarter. Okay? So it has the quarter. It has target goal of how many minutes you want to practice or whatever. And then it has three categories. Let's just loosely say like harmony, rhythm, and melody. Those are the three basic elements in music, right? And suppose you have a goal, your harmony goal is to learn a new chord or something for that particular week. And so right in here, you just cryptically write whatever that, you know, learn B minor, and play songs with it. Your rhythm goal is a new strum or something. And your melody goal, that could be something like whether you're reading, you know, reading a piece, you put the piece name, or whether you're learning a sort of like a scale to use for improv, right? So you got that. So that manages your week. And so immediately you go home, there's three different words. And that's what you're doing. It's pretty easy to understand, right? But then over a quarter, you can easily evaluate, okay, I'm here I am now, and 90 days ago I was here. I can easily do these things. It's not always easy to monitor your practice, right? Who's experienced this before? You sit down, you practice for 2-3 hours, and then you go to a jam session. I'm determined to knock that over. You go to a jam session or a gig, and you can't do any of that stuff. Who's had that frustration? It's like how many of you have kids? I know you do. You can't see them growing, right? You can't see them growing. You can only see other kids that you don't see, like you only see them every year or something, right? Or some other relative comes over and says, oh my God, they're so big now. And you're like, yeah, I guess so. It's the same thing with you practicing. You can't see it on a daily basis. But if you get a strategy to monitor it on a longer term basis, you only need four of these to look back a year, right? Am I right? Go like this, if you're with me. And then review, so that covers reviewing by the quarter. So there's many different things that this form does. And then keep a journal. This goes actually from a sports book that I read a long time ago. I liked it so much that I hung it on my office wall. It's from The Winning Spirit from Joe Montana. And there's eight different practice with a purpose, little points. You'll get a copy of this in your email, so I'm not going to review every single one. Number one is good. Enjoy the drills that improve your skills. Number two, practice is a privilege and an opportunity. Has a finite beginning and an end. We'll talk about using the timer later. So I'm not going to read all these, but I'd like to draw your attention to number six. Keep a performance journal. And it says emotional as well. What does that mean? Anyone want to tell me? Go ahead, Emma.
Like when I was on lesson a couple days ago and I felt crying
the whole time. Oh, you did? was it frustrating content? You couldn't do what you wanted to? Or were you crying because someone had bad BO or something?
No. My professor, he wasn't being mean or anything. I just have been having a struggle with a certain range in my play on a different instrument.
Oh, I see.
And so it was like constantly hitting this wall, and I wanted to go and do something else. And so that was worth writing about later, to recognize that if I just keep working on this thing that's really difficult without making progress, that is really frustrating.
Well, we're going to come back to I could offer you a suggestion right off the bat, although I'm getting out of order. It's a four-letter word. It starts with S, and then the other three letters are L-O-W. You probably were just doing whatever you were doing, trying to do it way too fast. But we'll come back to that. It's called the practice diamond. When we get there, pay attention. Some of you guys know about it, right? But that's very good. I'm very happy you shared about that, because writing it out, and not only that, you can write out your successes too. I use a journal for not only emotional stuff, but like keeping track of tempos, keeping track of new ideas for songs, keeping track of maybe voicings or even stuff that I think is cool that I came across and I'm going to forget, but I don't have time to do it right now because I'm only doing three things in a week and only one thing at a time, right? But there's tons of stuff. There's stuff like that. I got my journals all the way from 20 years ago because I'm just a nerd like that, but whatever. And occasionally I'll go through them and I'll be like, oh yeah, there's a tune I never finished, or I forgot all about that. It's a good idea or something. And then the next one, maintain effortlessness. Here we go, Emma. This is from the book called Effortless Mastery. Who's heard of it besides Hillary? His name is Kenny Werner. Brilliant book. Highly recommend it. And there's many aspects of the book, but one aspect in particular is called the practice diamond. The book is about maintaining your effortlessness at all times. You know, the thing that makes practicing frustrating is we're trying to cram everything in, and it's not working, just like Emma said. We've all been there, and it gets frustrating. You can't do... But if you come from a standpoint of, okay, I'm going to maintain my effortlessness always, think about that. Think about this. You plan by the year. You even plan 5, 10 years out. 10 years down the road, it's just as good or even better than you imagined. And all the way along, you didn't put any effort in, i.e. you maintained your effortlessness. Wouldn't that be cool? Who believes that's possible? Who believes that's impossible? Let's hear it. Come on. We hear skeptics and critics and, it'll never happen. What do you mean put no effort in for 10 years? Well, you're about to find out. The assumption in the book is that you're always going to maintain your effortlessness. So really, it's not a practice diamond, it's a practice triangle. In order to maintain your effortlessness, you can only choose two out of the three elements, right? So let's take an example. Hello, please sign in. So I want to play a piece that I'm working on, and I keep on making mistakes. So I have I have several choices. Let's just go through these two. I can play the entire piece and try and play it perfectly. And of course, I'm going to maintain my effortlessness. And guess what gets sacrificed? Tell me.
Speed.
Wait, what do I have to do in order to, I gave it to Emma before.
Slow down.
Way down. Because you're going for perfection. I'm talking one note a year. So whatever you think is slow, half that and half that, you know. And then you can do it. You can actually play the piece. And if you can't, then the piece is too big, okay? Maybe you only want to play a small part of the thing. I'm going to beat this. Let me know when I start beating the dead horse here. But let's pick. Let's have another volunteer to pick. You're going to maintain your effortlessness and pick another two out of three. Let's hear it. Who wants to volunteer? Tim.
Perfectly and fast.
Perfectly and fast. Yeah. I'm playing this piece. Come hell or high water. And I'm going to maintain my effortlessness at tempo. And certainly ain't going to be perfect. And I'm just going to let it go. Right? Those are all useful. And they're all, you know, I'm not saying one's better than the other. Make sense? Anybody else? Everybody get this? Should we move on from this? Good, I think you got it. I can spend hours on this because it's very powerful. And again, you're going to get a copy of this. Let's move on to the fun aspect of it.